Hey guys, just want to give you a quick reminder that the full recorded sessions from last week's workshop are now available on our website. They're going to be up until August 31st. So if you haven't seen it already, or maybe you just want to review, make sure you check it out. I'll throw a note in the show notes where you can go, but you can also head over to www.tier1trading.com and just click the banner that says Confident Trader Collective. Enjoy and make sure you plan accordingly because it's about 10 plus hours of training. So don't wait until the last minute. Also has to consider looking at each pair and how they behave because he might find a pair that he could trail further, and with some other pairs he'll have to be more conservative.
Yep.
Each pair is going to have a different personality. Lord knows those daily chore testers have experienced that. I can't name one trader in there that hasn't been like, Akil, every time I do a filter it works for like these two pairs and then it makes these other five pairs worse. It's a great example of the different personalities that the market has. And keep in mind, it's always difficult to be a trend continuation trader in a market that typically consolidates. That's tough too. Forex market is more a much more consolidative market than say like your indices or something like that, or your stocks. Lots of bouncy bounce. Darren says, if it's the daily chore, then, yeah, that's the daily chore he's trading, yep. Then maybe when the two EMAs cross, it might be alarm bell for a rotation. Yeah, he can use other ways of trailing. The graph comparison that I showed you, that was using the ROC. It's the rock. Right? It was using the ROC as a trail function. So when the ROC crosses a certain level, you automatically take it out, or you can do the same with the stochastics, the MACD, EMAs. That's another way to trail as well. You can trail based off an indicator. So saying once the stochastics cross blah, 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 then I take it out at market. And again, that's what I was using with that comparison. I used the ROC for that. Rate of change for you guys that are about to ask. Rate of change. What the hell is ROC? Jay-Z, Memphis Bleek, Dame Dash, Beanie Siegel, A Million. But that's another method of trailing. And what's cool, I mean, with those type of indicators, any indicator, you can tweak it to how close or far you want to trail it by. So, like, let's say you're using a rate of change, you're using a rate of change at, like, a 14 period. I think that's the default. It's going to give you a very big cushion before when it gives you that exit signal. So that could be similar to like, it's not going to be as big as waiting for a previous level structure to be violated, but kind of the same thing as a bigger window, more room for the bigger trend to resume. If you use a smaller number, like a 2, it's going to give you quicker signals. So it's going to trail you out a lot quicker. So if you're using indicators, the cool thing is, right, I think too many people default to the default, right? How many of you guys look at an indicator and you never change it from the default? Unless you're changing, or never change from a default, or what Akil and Jason Greystone use. Probably not a lot of you, right? I know a lot of you don't use indicators in the first place, but typically you never change it. You're like, well, this is the default, so this must be the best. Very rarely is the default version actually the best. So this is where it goes back into kind of understanding and knowing how to read a price chart, right? Knowing how to just be a true trader in the market. You've got to understand what adjustments you need to make based on what you want to, or what you want that indicator to tell you, right? If you want a tighter, let's give this an example, right? If you're using the RSI and you want quicker overbought and oversold signals because you're an aggressive trader, you've got to tighten that RSI up, right? You've got to go from an RSI 14 to an RSI 5. If you're more conservative and you're like, hey, I only want the really strong, right, the really important oversold and overbought signals, then you're going to loosen it up. You may use a 21. Same thing with your levels of oversold and overboughtness, right? Traditionally, there are 70 and 30. If you want something more aggressive, maybe you go 60-40. You want something more conservative, maybe you go 80-20. Maybe you go 90-10, right? So you're tweaking it to match what you want. I think a lot of traders rely on the default because, I don't even want to say because they're lazy, but because we assume that they're the default for a reason. We assume that they're the default because that's the best way to work. And that's not true. And if we think about it, and I thought that way for the longest time, you think about it, right? If they're the default and they're the best way for it to work, the best way for who, right? Do we all trade the same? Do we all share a same strategy and same philosophy? No, we're all different. So why shouldn't our indicators be different? Right? You guys that follow me in the live room, you know I love me some range bar charts. Ooh, baby, right? Love me some range bar charts, right? I'm much more aggressive on the range bar charts. Range bar charts where I do majority of my day trading, my trend continuation trading, right? In my opinion, they're a more aggressive way of looking at the market. I want more aggressive entries. I'm very aggressive on the range bar charts. It's typically they're low risk, right? My stop losses are very tight, so I can be wrong a million times and be fine, right? But I use a 5-period RSI there because I'm aggressive. Like I want that signal and I want it quickly. I'm not too much worried about false signals because of just that's what I've accepted in my level of aggression. I've accepted more false signals for more opportunities to get involved in the market. You back me up to my swing trading on the 4-hour, I'm not like that. I still use a 7-period, which is I think the RSI default is 14 or 13, I want to say, probably 14. I still use a 7-period, right? So it's a little bit, it's closer, lower, I guess, than your default. So it still gives me more overbought and oversold signals, right? However, I do use an 80 and 20, right? So I'm looking for, instead of 70-30, I balance it out with looking for extremely overbought and extremely oversold conditions. I also want I want recency bias, right? I don't necessarily care about the last 14 days, right? I want more recency bias in my decision making. So it's making that adjustment for what you want. MACD, stochastics, rate of change, whatever you're using, you can do the same. Moving averages, you can do the same thing. Bollinger Bands, Keltner Channels, right? Adjust them for what you want to accomplish. Now, easier said than done, right? Especially if you're a newer trader. We're going to pick on Ed again because I love Ed's comment where it's like, hey, my first week, man. Ed has no idea how to, I'm just assuming here, Ed, you never know, but I'm assuming Ed has no idea how to adjust the Keltner channel to what he wants as a trader, right? So it takes time kind of knowing and playing around with things and it takes a lot of trial and error. But over time, you know, you kind of learn your trading style and what you're looking for and what you prefer and what you need to see. And then you can start having a good idea of what complements it, right? Kind of like a coach working with an NBA player for a long time. Once you get them in for a few years, you start understanding what pieces to put around them, right? Give LeBron James shooters, right? Surround him with shooters. That's what he needs. He doesn't need another ball-dominant person. Doesn't work, right? Surround him with shooters and people that can play defense. 3-and-Ders, right? Darren says, also, I have noticed when price starts to trade below the 50 EMA, then there's a potential of a rotation before the 20 and the 50 cross.
and says, stick in some numbers and we'll see what happens, right? Yeah. I mean, look, it's, yeah, play around with it. I was doing that thing the other day, and I, again, with the rate of change, and I never even went that low, right? I usually go for, I think a 13 has been my go-to, maybe an 8, right? And I was like, I want to trail real tight. So I went to like a 2, and I was like, okay, too tight, backing on up, too tight, hold on, too tight. So I went to a 3, and 3 worked out, right? Maybe you experiment with a 4, right? If you're doing some deep testing like that, it's not even a bad idea, and it's tedious, but have the same indicator up on your chart and just have different levels. So just, again, sticking with the rate of change for an example, right? Have a 2, 4, and a 6 up on your chart and just compare. And look at your opportunities and be like, oh, the 2 would have saved me, but the 4 would have kept me in, but the 6 would have this. And compare until you get that feel, because you don't know. Now, the good thing is once you do it, it kind of stays in your mental log, where it's like, now I can go back. Like, I know what, based on what I want to accomplish, I know which indicators I should test. And once you kind of experiment with it, even if it's in a failed deal, even if you test something and it doesn't end up working, I now know where it's like, hey, if I want something that trails really, really tight, let's start off with a ROC3. So you always have it in kind of your mental log, which can be helpful in the future, because you never know when you're going to need to break it back out. One of the coolest things I learned in my trading was, you know, that RSI swap thing I do, right? That came from failed testing. I was testing something, I think, on a range bar chart, and like, it didn't work out. But the one thing that I noticed was like, hey, this RSI swap thing, that part works pretty, pretty good. And I was able to implement that into my normal trading. That's why I never believe that anything's like a waste of time. I don't believe in waste of time. Like, if you can learn one thing and you never know when it's going to be useful, it may pop up 5 years from now, but I don't believe experience is a waste of time. I believe experience is experience, even if it's failed experience. And one can argue you learn more from failed experiences than your successful ones. Because you probably work harder during your failures to try and get something to work. But you don't notice those things until hindsight. That's the issue, right? Many people don't have the patience to wait 2 years and be like, hey, remember that thing I tried? Oh, yeah, that does work now. Many people just disregard if it doesn't work. They don't give it time. They bail. But yeah. Yep. And again, this is talking to someone with like 13 years of experience in the market. So you would ask me this 10 years ago, but it would be a different.